You're listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast.
Welcome back to the Faith Unpacked podcast with Jason and Jamie. This is episode 307. And today I just wanted to record and share my thoughts about the assassination of Charlie Kirk. I don't usually, and neither Jason or I typically comment a lot about a lot of famous people. I know I just recently did an episode on John MacArthur and the impact of John MacArthur's life and ministry on me. And so it's happened recently, but today's been surprisingly emotional. I'm not going to lie. You know, obviously by the time this podcast is released, it'll have been a while. But I'm actually recording it the day that Charlie Kirk was shot and killed there at Utah Valley University. And it really is surprising and honestly emotional, and not because of politics, not particularly. I know that's most of the talk that's going on. But Charlie Kirk was more influential than that. He obviously was a man of great faith, and that was apparent in the way he lived his life, in the way he talked, in the character he appeared to have. Now, to be fair, I never met him. I don't know him personally. I only know him the same way everybody in this country knew him, through videos and stuff like that. But I will say the thing that stands out to me and the value of a man like that in my mind was how Charlie Kirk always fiercely stood for biblical masculinity and biblical values of what a man is and what a man should be. You know, Charlie was married to his wife, was a dad of two kids, and was not apologetic at all for not agreeing with the world, for not falling into feminism's traps, for not falling into chauvinistic traps, for not jumping into what our culture seems to want to define as good or godly. And that, to me, is what was the encouraging value of the life and ministry work of Charlie Kirk. Now, it's fair to say, both myself and Jason, when it comes to politics, are more conservative. I think if you're a Bible-believing Christian, you're going to end up there. Not to say that I'm a member of a political party. I certainly consider both American parties to be super corrupt. And I know Jason would say that as well. So it's not that we're speaking from a perspective of totally believing and buying into a political party. And in fact, I believe as Christians that we are a member of Christ and Christ's kingdom. And that doesn't really align necessarily always with politics and the ethics of politics and the attitudes of politics and the beliefs of politics. But I will say, from a fundamental value, there are aspects of the left that are just absolutely incongruent with biblical Christianity, such as abortion and the mutilation of children and things like this, sexual promiscuity and sexual freedom, free ethic of, you know, modern culture and all these sorts of things. These are incompatible with the truth of scripture. And I don't care where you're coming from or what your particular view is. If you claim to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you purport to accept those beliefs and values, then you are not a biblical believing Christian. I don't say that to be mean. I don't say that to be judgmental. That's just the reality. That's just the truth. As believers in Jesus Christ, our command, our charge is to be under the authority of God's word. You know, we say that the Bible is the inspired, inerrant word of God and is the final authority for all life and godliness. And if it's not, then what ends up happening is your Christianity or your claim of faith ultimately is really a God of your own making. You know, those Christians who say they don't believe in the Bible and biblical values, then they are embracing and accepting a God made in their own image. And I think they betray that themselves when they describe their attitude as saying, you know, my God would never do this, or my God believes this, or my God just accepts all matter of sin and immorality. And that's no biblical Christianity at all. That's I ultimately am my own God. And the Bible speaks of that a lot. It's called idolatry. And it is the probably primary sin of mankind in my heart and in your heart and everybody's heart is the desire, the want to worship things other than God and ultimately to worship self and self-satisfaction and self-gratification and indulging the flesh and all these sorts of things. And so to see somebody like Charlie Kirk, who, while engaging in the public sector, engaging in the world of politics, never even took a step, never even tried to move away from the truth of God's word, never even tried to step away from God's good picture and God's good design. And he didn't care. He didn't seem to care whether people liked him for that or respected him for that or, you know, thought he was hateful or bigoted or evil or any of these kinds of things. And just unapologetically embraced a godly picture of masculinity. You know, he was the kind of husband, seemingly, that God calls a man to be, to love, serve, and die for their wife. He was the father, seemingly, that a man is called to be, one who raises and trains up their children in the way of the Lord and loves and serves them and cares for them and prioritizes them, his wife and his kids. And, you know, even just listening to people's accounts, people who knew him well and personally, there was a lot of talk about how he often brought his kids with him on all this travel and got to spend time with them while traveling, and they got to see their dad at work and they got to engage as a family and all these things. And what a beautiful picture that is. But there's a reality of masculinity as God designed it that is meant to be resolute. It's meant to be steeped in faith. It's meant to be standing firm regardless of what people think or how people feel or what the culture aspects of these things are. I mean, there's so many texts. I think, obviously, to the words of King David, you know, his final instruction to his son Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 2, where it says that as the time approached for David to die, he instructed his son Solomon, "As for me, I am going the way of all the earth. Be strong and be courageous like a man." So he points out, first of all, that there an aspect of God's design for masculinity, for manhood, is to be strong, is to be courageous like a man, right? This is aspects and attributes of the very nature that God encoded men to have, to be strong, to be courageous. And that's evident in a world where, you know, men want to be passive. Men want to just step aside and take the easy path and maybe just give themselves over to the flesh and to live a life of self-gratification instead of love and service and standing for truth and protecting those who need protection and serving those who need serving and caring for those who need caring. This is God's good design. And then David goes on to say, not only is a man intended to be strong and courageous as God designed it, but then he goes on in verse 3 to say, and keep your obligations to the Lord your God, to walk in his way and to keep his statutes, his commands, his ordinances, and his decrees. This is written in the law of Moses, so that you will have success in everything that you do and wherever you turn, and so that the Lord will carry out his promises that he made to me. And of course, he's speaking of the Davidic promise that it is one, a son of David who will eternally sit on the throne. We understand this to be the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come and would deal with the reality of all human sin and be the eternal reigning king forever and ever. But this is the call of a man to be strong, to be courageous, and to follow and obey the very good commands of God. And this same kind of thing is repeated multiple times. Think of 1 Corinthians chapter 16 in the New Testament, verse 13. Be alert, stand firm in faith, act like a man, be strong. Your very action must be done with love. So here's another picture of man. In this case, not only does a man stand firm, but he does so in great faith. And again, he's strong. This is the good design. This is the good will of God for men. This is how God intended things to be. Or even think of like 1 Timothy 4. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, command and teach these things. Verse 12, let no one despise you, your youth. Instead, you should be an example to believers in all speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, give your attention to public reading, exhortation, and teaching. So again, here you have these commands that God calls or lays or encourages a man that this is what they should look like, right? Be a example with all speech, with all conduct, in all love, in all faith, in all purity. This is the good design of God for men and for masculinity. And you notice, this is nothing like the worldly picture. This is not some passive, beta, ridiculous, what's the androgynous idea of a man who just defers to, you know, strong, independent women and stays out of the way and does whatever goes along with whatever the culture wants and believes in whatever values the culture wants to believe in and doesn't disrupt and isn't dangerous in a positive sense even. And what a breakdown, you know, that isn't masculine. That isn't anything that looks like God's good design. That isn't anything that builds a society. That isn't anything that, you know, cultivates, that encourages, that builds up, that supports, that loves, that serves. It's none of the things. It isn't even acting in good faith, right? It's just, oh, I'm going to stay out of any conflict. Oh, I'm going to not stand for the truth because people might get mad at me and think I'm toxic and think, oh, that awful patriarchy and blah, 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 blah. No, the opposite. It's a man who has faith in the Lord. It's a man who stands in the strength of the Lord, It's a man who holds to the truth of God. It's a man who protects. It's a man who serves. It's a man who loves. It's a man who does the very things that God calls him to do and is an example. Right? We can go on. There's more examples. Titus chapter 2, verse 6. In the same way, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, make yourself an example of good works with integrity and dignity in your teaching. Your message is to be sound beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be ashamed, having nothing bad to say about us. See how this is the opposite of any of these worldly ideas? A man is to be self-controlled. It doesn't mean that you're out there running around getting angry every time you want to be angry. It doesn't mean being violent anytime you want to be violent. It doesn't mean just giving yourself over to all sexual sin or all sexual desires. I love Ben Shapiro was on a news program recently, and they were asking him about, you know, his views on homosexuality and trying to, shame him or make him look awful or whatever, because he holds to biblical values. Now, Ben Shapiro is not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, unfortunately, but he does hold to the truth of God's word. And so he believes marriage as he believes in marriage as God designed it, and was very unapologetic even in this interview about it. And somebody even brought up, you know, the truth of his own comments in the past, where he at some point was talking, and maybe he's said this multiple times, I don't know, but he was being honest, saying, you know, we cannot, as men, we cannot just follow the desires of our flesh, because they are corrupted. They always want to do sinful things, especially when it comes to sexuality. There's that strong desire, and it wants sinful things. And he commented that he has the desire to, you know, have sexual relationships with lots of different women, and yet he does not, because that's not God's good design, right? That's not God's best for human flourishing. That's not good for him, and it's not good for his family. It's not good for his marriage. It's not good for society. It's not good for anything. And ultimately, it destroys God's good picture that ultimately leads to God's good glory. And it's not a good thing. And so he does not do that, right? That's the call of a man of God, is that there's self-control, that they're not just living for the flesh, that they're not just giving in to every single desire that they might have. And at the same time, they are an example of good works with integrity and dignity, right? Their character is seen well and understood well as being good and godly, even in a culture where our ethics are horrible. The attitude of a Christian should be totally different. I mean, think about the ultimate charge of a believer is to have, you know, character that is elder qualified, you know, in a biblical sense. Think of 1 Timothy 3, right? It says, this saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to be an overseer or elder, he desires a noble work. An overseer, therefore, must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, self-controlled, sensible, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine, not a bully or glutton, not quarrelsome or greedy, one who manages his own household competently, having his children under control with all dignity. If anyone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of God's church? He must not be a new convert, or he might become conceited and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Furthermore, he must have a good reputation among outsiders so that he does not fall into disgrace and the devil's trap. And the same thing is true with deacons as well, you see the same kind of criteria, but Paul makes it clear that this is for the whole church. He says in verse 14 at the end of the chapter, I am writing these things to you, hoping to come to you soon, but should I be delayed, I have written so that you will know how people ought to act in God's household, which is the church of the living God, and the pillar and foundation of truth. So this is the standard, not just of eldership. This should be the attitude, the heart, the approach of all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what God calls men to do. And this, friends, is what I think we saw well in the life and work of Charlie Kirk, even though he was only 31 at the point of being shot and killed. Still had a lot of life left to live, though I guess the Lord decided it was his time. And so we're left just with this legacy of one who I think really exhibited well and fought for unapologetically what it is to be a man of God in this culture. And he wasn't shy about it. He spoke the truth of what he believed. You know, his faith was rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ and in God's word. And he lived that out, or tried to live that out well. Do I think Charlie Kirk was the perfect man? No, I don't. I don't think anybody's perfect. I think we all wrestle with sin. I'm sure Charlie Kirk wrestled just like all other men wrestle. But his faith was rooted in the Lord. And as a result, he had that courage to stand firm and hold to the truth of God no matter what. To love, to serve, to literally die for his wife and his children, and to serve as a great example to all of us of what it means to be a godly man. So I'll just say, friends, I'm just sharing my thoughts. These are just what's been bouncing around in my head. I didn't plan it. I didn't prepare it. It's just how it came out from my heart as I've just really been impacted by this news much more dramatically than I thought I was going to be. You know, given that I've never met the guy, and typically I'm not a big, you know, people worship kind of guy. I'm not really into celebrity culture, not really into those things. And yet I do appreciate a man who fiercely and unapologetically and courageously and by deep and abiding faith in the Lord stood firm and defended and lived out what it means to be a biblically masculine man. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Faith Unpacked podcast. We're so thankful for your time. We hope and pray that these encourage your faith and walk with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to hear past episodes, you can find them on our website at faithunpacked.com. We'd also invite you to subscribe on your favorite podcasting site. If you have any questions, feel free to hit us up on social media, or you can send us an email at faithunpacked@gmail.com. And we invite you back next time as we continue to unpack our faith together.